Today comes from Matthew chapter 13, starting from chapter 1 to 23. Just give you all a second to flick through your phones, open your Bibles. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown."
Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Ian, if we haven't met before. I serve as one of the elders and vision coordinators for our church family. And today it's my privilege to look at the parable of the sower with you from Matthew 13. As Cam said earlier, this week we begin our holiday series looking at some kingdom parables from Matthew 13, which we'll be going through over these holidays and the June-July holidays. So the kingdom parables are parables that Jesus told which share about God's kingdom, both what it is like and how God's kingdom will come to pass. And as we've just read from Matthew 13, we'll see in a bit why Jesus uses parables and what they reveal about humanity's heart, our hearts. Well, before we look at God's word, please pray with me. Let's pray together. Loving Father, thank you for your precious word, the Bible. Thank you that it brings us to Jesus, your amazing, precious Son. Please help us to have quietened minds and hearts as we come to look at your word now. Please help us to know you better, to know the hope to which you've called us, to know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that we have life in his name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Well, over the last couple of weeks, I've found it interesting relating to this first century parable of Jesus, because of my own experience growing up on a farm. For those of you who don't know, I grew up on a farm in country Queensland. Yes, Queensland. A decent-sized farm where mostly my parents ran cattle, but at other times they also did a lot of cropping. Forage sorghum and oats for fattening cattle, for those who know that. Sorghum and wheat for the grain. And I think one year we planted sunflowers, but the local birds had an absolute field day, so they didn't do that ever again. For us on the farm, the major parts of the cropping process involved ploughing, preparing the soil, and planting, and later on harvesting. In the early days, when my parents first started preparing paddocks to do cropping in, there was this particularly tiring and tedious job of stick and rock picking. Stick picking. Anyone had an experience of that fun job? Well, it's exactly as it sounds. You walk across a paddock, picking up all the big sticks and all of the rocks, putting them into piles to either burn or to remove from the paddock. It meant that the paddock was much easier to plough in and to actually properly prepare it. See, there was lots involved in planting crops. You need the soil broken up, rocks and sticks removed so the seeds can be planted deep enough and not to be too near the surface so they could germinate and successfully grow. Although with every crop there is some seed loss which you try to minimise, and there did need to be enough moisture in the soil to plant in the first place. See, with enough moisture, the seeds can germinate and they keep growing. It's an agonising experience watching a crop slowly shrivel up and die because of lack of moisture. And weeds, you want them gone, ploughed up or sprayed and killed, because otherwise they compete and they often win against the crops in the battle for moisture in their growth. Then you have to deal with the potential of weed seed mixed in with the harvest. Weed seed contamination can be a real issue. In worst case scenarios, your harvest can even be rejected by potential buyers because of weed contamination. So for me, this parable is relatable on the farming level. Hard soil, rocks, lack of moisture and weeds are ever the part of the challenge facing farmers who grow crops. And today, as we look at this well-known parable of Jesus, many of the original Jewish listeners would have readily related to it as well. Whether they were crop farmers or not, farming was an everyday thing that they'd seen experience around their towns, villages, and in the countryside. So together this morning, we'll consider the what of this passage, what Jesus says and what he doesn't say as he tells this parable. Then we'll look at the why, the question the disciples asked Jesus. Why does he speak to the people in parables? And finally, we'll look at the way. That is Jesus' explanation of this parable. The way we can understand this parable and the way we can live it, both only through Jesus. Jesus tells us that the message of the kingdom of God has come. We need to see with our eyes, hear with our ears, understand with our hearts, and turn to Jesus for healing. Well, let's look at the what of this passage in verses 1 to 9. So here's an illustration that the crowd most likely could easily relate to, planting a crop. Dealing with some lost seed not germinating and being eaten by the birds. Dealing with rocky soil where it's hard to properly plant. Dealing with weeds and the way that they can easily choke out the crop. And having good soil where the crop successfully grows. They can relate to the farmer, as can I. But can they relate to actually being the soil? And do they even realize that that's what they and we are in this parable? And do you notice that Jesus doesn't actually seem to give any explanation or a clear teaching point with this parable either? He's done that in some of his former previous parables. But this one, he simply finishes with, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Can you imagine what that would have been like for the listeners that day? Possible confusion. What's Jesus really talking about? Uncertainty I think I better check with a friend. Maybe I didn't hear something he said. Awkwardness. I thought this Jesus was someone special. He doesn't even know how to teach clearly. What about us? See, we have the benefit of sitting with the disciples and hearing Jesus' explanation from the parable, which is an immense privilege. But how would you respond in that crowd? When you hear the words, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." That's all of us, isn't it? Clearly, Jesus wants them and us to listen. This must be important. So right now, at this very moment, whoever has ears, let them hear. It's a heads up for all of us. It's a warning for all of us. I want to suggest there are three ways that we can respond to this passage from Jesus. We can be confused by Jesus, by what he says. Fair enough. But are you willing to truly listen to Jesus as he explains it to the disciples so you can move past confusion to understanding? Secondly, we can hear what he says and know we have listened to Jesus and humbly desire to continue doing so. And thirdly, we know what he says because we've heard and read this parable many times before. We know it and we're comfortable in our knowledge. It's familiar to us after all. But are you actually willing to listen humbly and carefully to Jesus again and again and again? Right now, our challenge is to not ignore it or sit over it, but to sit humbly under these words from Jesus. In a sense, sitting at Jesus' feet with the rest of his disciples and listening. Because I think for many of us, we can easily have a heart issue as believers. See, we're this side of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and the generous pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We can easily forget our desperate brokenness and our neediness before God. Or we can be overwhelmed in our brokenness and forget his loving forgiveness. Either way, we can forget that we're disciples of Jesus who need to continually be taught by him, and that it's actually such a blessing to carefully listen to him and follow him wholeheartedly. And here Jesus tells us that the message of the kingdom of God has come. We need to really see with our eyes, really hear with our ears, really understand with our hearts, and turn to Jesus for healing. Well, have you ever been sitting in a meeting or in a class or having a conversation and something comes up and you feel totally confused by it? Some key words are shared or something is referenced and you have no idea what everyone else is talking about. For me, I usually try to follow along with the conversation. Maybe then it'll make sense. Now, this can work sometimes, but usually I have to be honest and a bit brave, face up to the fact that I have no idea, and ask the question, "What are you talking about?" And in verse 10, here we see the disciples come to Jesus with a question. Why do you speak to the people in parables? I wonder if they're also thinking, "And we don't understand what you mean either." I know for myself, without the following explanation from Jesus, I'd have no idea what he meant in the parable. Jesus reveals that he's been talking about the secrets of the kingdom of God, that it's been given to the disciples and us as we read along, but not to the crowd who were listening. Why? Well, they're secrets that can't be understood unless God in his grace allows it, generously and abundantly. These secrets are about how God will plant and grow his kingdom in Jesus. And then Jesus quotes from Isaiah in the Old Testament, which reveal the crowds, Israel's heart or hearts, and ultimately everyone's hearts. Even though we hear and we see, we won't understand or change. Why? Because our hearts are calloused, dull, hard. And when hearts are talked about like this in the Bible, it means the whole process of hearing and perceiving, of truly understanding, thinking it through, and then acting in response, doing it wholeheartedly. Today, some people might describe that as head, hearts, and hands. That's why in verse 15 it says, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. This parable that Jesus spoke is meant to produce this response from all of us. But how can the crowd, us, respond if our hearts are calloused, unresponsive? Well, the truth is, by ourselves, it's impossible. But Jesus is the one who opens the way for us. He is the one who went to the cross for us. His death, his resurrection and ascension takes us from death to life, gives us a new heart, and it opens the way for God's pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36 describes this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's what God says. Jesus tells us that the message of the kingdom of God has come. We need to see with our eyes, hear with our ears, understand with our hearts, and turn to Jesus for healing. And it's totally Jesus who helps us do that. So as we look at this last part of the passage where Jesus explains to the disciples what this parable means, how about we honestly and humbly sit with them and listen to Jesus with all of our heads and our hearts and our hands, putting aside any unbelief, any doubts, any emotions, any fears, any struggles, and any distractions. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus then explains from verse 18 what all the parts of the parable are. Firstly, the seed is the message about the kingdom, a message that Jesus has been preaching from the start of his ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So that means that Jesus is the sower, the farmer, sowing the good news of God. In the different soils, well, that's all people. That's us. We're our heads and our hearts and our hands and our possible responses to Jesus. So Jesus then outlines the four responses that people have to the message of the kingdom of God. The first response in verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. This is the hard heart or the unchanged heart. And this morning, this is quite possibly some of us sitting here now. Whether you've never heard about Jesus before and what he's done for us, or you've heard it 1,000 times, but your heart is indifferent, uncaring, or is unresponsive. Well, the evil one, Satan, has snatched away the good news of Jesus from you. Is that what you want? The second response in verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the shallow heart that has an emotional response to the good news, but can't handle the challenges that come along with following Jesus. Simply, it's describing someone who wants blessings, not forgiveness and heart change. If that's you, do you understand that you're not just a person in need of help, but actually a sinner in need of being saved? This response means that you haven't truly let Jesus be your Lord and Savior and your King. Is that what you want? The third response in verse 22. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. I wonder how many of us relate to this response. I relate to it. I get it. Life is hard. There are so many worries, so many pains and burdens, temptations, sins and struggles. But also so many good things that distract our attention away from Jesus as well. And so our heart is divided and ruled and influenced by things of the world, not Jesus alone. We might follow Jesus, but our attention is given to other things. Is that what you really want? The fourth response in verse 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60 or 30 times what was sown. Is this your response? Can you see Jesus' lordship in all areas of your life? You see and hear God's word. You humbly seek to understand it and respond wholeheartedly with the help of the Holy Spirit, letting yourself be impacted personally. You continually turn to Jesus for healing, love, and joy, no matter what comes your way. And you seek to let God's love flow out of you to others, like an abundant crop, for their benefit and for their good, so that they can also know Jesus with all of their heart. Oh, that we'd all be like this. Not callous and hard-hearted to Jesus. Not simply wanting to take from Jesus. Not just giving some parts of ourselves to Jesus while pursuing things of this world that tempt us. But wholeheartedly, humbly rejoicing in Jesus our Savior and living for Him alone. Knowing that He has literally done everything for us. It's challenging that this parable speaks to everyone in the world. To all of us in this room right now. So if you relate to one of the first two responses, please, please, please listen to Jesus. He has called us all to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn wholeheartedly to Him and be healed today. And if this is you, please talk to someone here about it today. Now, if you relate to the third response and know you have a divided heart, whether you recognize you're pursuing riches above Jesus or you're controlled by things of the world or something else, please turn wholeheartedly to Jesus. And guess what? You don't have to do it by yourself. Firstly, simply turn to Jesus. He himself said only a couple of chapters before this in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We don't have to have it all together to come to Jesus again and again. And secondly, remember you're not alone. We all have each other, our gospel communities, to do real messy life together. We have people around us who are like the fourth soil, who humbly and wholeheartedly pursue Jesus, knowing they desperately need Jesus and His healing in every single part of their lives, because they struggle against sin and in this world as well. And they want to help you to pursue Jesus wholeheartedly as well. How good is that? Let's help each other pursue Jesus wholeheartedly in love. Well, I'm going to close in prayer shortly, and I'm going to use a prayer I came across by a guy named Scotty Smith, who regularly writes prayers for the Gospel Coalition. And it speaks of our hearts before God. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, there are so many things attributed to you in the Scriptures that clearly aren't our domain. Heart knowing is one of them. We often speak of being drawn to someone's heart or of being offended, confused, or shut out from their heart. But only you really know what's going on in each of our hearts. That's why we pray with humility today. Search me, O God, and know my heart. For we cannot trust our own diagnosis of ourselves or anyone else. Only you can heal, free, and transform us. Often we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, ignoring reality and honest feedback. Other times we think too lowly of ourselves, falling into shame and contempt, living like strangers to your mercy, grace, and love. Quite honestly, we think about ourselves too much, a preoccupation that leads to the paralysis of analysis and the sinkhole of comparison. Perhaps worse, we assume we know what's going on in other people's hearts, playing prosecuting attorney, judge, jury, and executioner. Forgive us, Father. But here's the really good news. Through Jesus, you sprinkled clean water on us and have declared us to be clean. You cleansed us from our impurities and are freeing us from our idols. Hallelujah. You gave us a new heart and placed your spirit within us. You removed our stony hearts and gave us hearts of flesh, hearts that beat for you and your glory. Thank you, Father. What a generous and powerful God you are. We are so grateful you will complete the gospel work you began in each of us. We, justified sinners, are destined to be your glorified children. Thank you, Father. Until then, help us to walk in greater humility before you and in tangible kindness towards each other. So very amen, we pray, in Jesus' loving and heart-transforming name.
Amen. Amen.